Whoop, whoop. I'm watching highlights from 2018 when Joe Kelly is laying them hands on Tyler Austin. Oh. In a brawl between the Yankees and Boston back in 2018. The score is 10-6. It's the top of the seventh, one man on. Joe Kelly hits Tyler Austin. Tyler Austin slams the bat onto the ground, runs towards Joe Kelly, and Joe Kelly says, "Welcome to my neighborhood, Mr. Austin."
See, now, he's got an amateur record.
All on that face. What did you say?
I said, see, he has an amateur record. He's already, he's got a record. He's got experience, man. I ain't messing with Joe.
Now, does the replay that you watched, LZ, does it make it clear that Joe Kelly hit the guy on purpose? Like that he was clearly looking to drill the guy, or was it a pitch that got away?
Let's see. Let me take another look. He looks as if, he's getting the signals. They're down four runs, top of the seventh. It's a 2-1 count. He's on this is his seventh pitch, and it looks like it got away from him.
Play-by-play in the future of LZ.
No, he's one of these guys who's about that life. He just can't control when he enters that life. Like, he's about it. He just doesn't have full control over when it's about to go down through his own volition. Because he's that wild. Like, you never know when it's going to happen with Joe Kelly. But when it happens, he's there. He's ready for it.
He's there.
He doesn't care.
He's there. That's what I say. He's the Christopher Columbus of baseball. He turned this accident into a fantastic moment. Now he's going to be able to walk throughout the city of L.A. and probably never have to buy another drink again. Not because he wanted to, but because of an accident that's being interpreted in a positive way for him. And I think it's awesome. Absolutely awesome. And if win the World Series, trust, this is going to be in the highlights.
There was so much leading up to this game yesterday. Dodgers in Houston against the Astros. The first time they have not just faced this team since losing the World Series in 2017, but the first time they faced them since the news broke and the story broke and all the information came out about the degrees to which the Astros were cheating that whole season, that whole playoffs against the Dodgers in the World Series. So, we've spent the last 2 days, LZ, wondering what's going to happen. What type of revenge are the Dodgers going to look to exact, if at all? How egregious will this get? Because they got off to a slowish start against the Giants, split that series, a bit of an opportunity lost. You worry in a 60-game season, are you willing to sacrifice a pitcher if he throws at someone blatantly, gets suspended, all of that? Then Joe Kelly gets on the mound with a lead, 3-0 count against Alex Bregman, and throws a pitch that ends up at Alex Bregman's head. If we're all being honest, not 100% sure that's what Joe Kelly was trying to do in the first place. Joe Kelly said it actually got away from him. And if you look at the entirety of Joe Kelly's career, believable story. Then you look at that inning, Joe Kelly's all over the place. He's losing control several pitches over that inning. Then he ends up in a battle with Carlos Correa, throws an off-speed pitch that gets away from him and almost hits Carlos Correa's head, then eventually gets Correa out, starts making faces at Carlos Correa on the way to the mound, literally sticks his tongue out at Carlos Correa on the way to the dugout, and then this ends up happening in the game.
I mean, listen. The way that we are going to remember this moment, if you're a Dodger fan, doesn't start with last night. It starts with the cheating of 2017.
Yeah.
That's where this conversation starts. And I'm not here for anyone who wants to start in and make it sound as if Joe Kelly was an instigator in this. In fact, you could even argue that it was the smack talk from the Red Sox during that inning that precipitated. Was that the right word?
Yes, it is.
Precipitated?
Nice vocabulary.
I was a little concerned because I had smoke yesterday. You never know if they're actual words or if you're making them up because you thought about them when you were smoking and they just carried over to you sobered up. So I was trying to make sure I delivered.
No. Nicely done.
Yes. Thank you. If you even look at the moments before that, when Joe Kelly ran over to cover first, they were talking smack to him. The Houston Astros were talking smack to him.
Yep. And yes, they were.
Someone can be heard telling him to get back to the mound.
Mother bleeper.
So you mother can bleeper. Hear the smack talk coming from his bench. So Mr. Baker, sir, who I have a tremendous amount of respect for, next time you find a microphone, make sure you start where the action really began. Don't just come in and say, well, Joe said this and he was throwing the ball and yeah. That came many, 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 many steps after you guys cheated.
Oh yeah,
You went to a cheating squad, and now punishment is coming your way. And you guys had the nerve to even talk smack during this inning, and then that's when things escalated, and that's when Joe Kelly told you nice swing. That's what happened.
And this is what it all sounded like in that moment when all hell broke loose.
Astros dugout has something to say to Kelly as he walks back to the Dodger dugout. Kelly turning his head to return fire as Correa also has something to say to Joe Kelly. And now both dugouts empty as the umpires are trying to keep everyone socially distant.
Yeah, Kelly was staring back at Correa as he walked off the field, and Reddick in the on-deck circle got loud. Now Correa kind of front and center right now.
Both bullpens jogging in as, for the most part, the Dodgers players are on one side, the Astros players are on the other side, and the umpires are in the middle trying to prevent any shenanigans. But, of course, this was what a lot of folks expected when these two teams hooked up. There may be some ill will still. Everybody's heading back to their dugouts or to their bullpens.
There may be some ill will still.
I think it's safe to say there is some ill will. Flo, in L.A., you're on the morning show. What are your thoughts on the game?
Good morning, gentlemen. I got a gripe on all the Dodgers except Joe Kelly. Joe Kelly handled that perfectly within the rules, throwing at the players with off-speed pitches. That's why he didn't get warned. My first gripe is with Muncy. Joe Kelly walked Alex on four pitches. Then he threw four times to first base. Unwritten rules, Muncy got to let one of those balls go and hit Berkman. He didn't do that. Second of all, Joe Kelly said something to the dugout. The Astros come to our dugout, and where's Turner? He's behind the pack. He's supposed to be one of our leaders. And finally, Jansen. Opportunity. I was favoring that ninth inning when he was going to face Correa. One out, 3-run lead. And what did he do? He served out a double instead of beating him, hitting him. What do you got to lose? We're up 3 runs. He got a double off you. We have no heart. We have no guys with – we have no dogs except Joe Kelly. Joe Kelly played that inning by himself, and he orchestrated to a perfection. He's a Dodger true target for life now. He won our respect, but all the other guys were soft. Who else stepped up in that game? They rushed our dugout, and all of our guys were just.
I appreciate the call there, Flo. Appreciate it, man. I mean, this is right now with these new rules, and it's going to be really interesting to see how baseball, LZ, rules in one of these bench clearing things. And, you know, not much really happened. But now that there are these rules in terms of you have to maintain distance, like, we're in the age of COVID, like how the league rules in terms of discipline with one of these situations, because all kidding aside, man, you lose 3 or 4 guys for a couple games and you all of a sudden have to rely on taxi squad guys in a 60-game season. That's a big deal. Like, and we don't know yet exactly how much latitude the league's going to allow guys.
But listen, man, I hear what Flo is saying. I do. But just like in hockey, you have your flashy offensive force, and that person is usually shielded by the enforcer. Or in basketball, you got, you know, a guy or two whose sole purpose is to come out and provide muscle so that your horses can go on, can go protected. Every single person with the Dodgers organization can't go out and be Joe Kelly. You need Joe Kelly to be Joe Kelly so that the other guys can be in their lane and do what they need to do. So I hear what he's saying, but you can't have our closer out there trying to get some
absolutely
Joe Kelly action.
You can't, because
we kind of need him.
No,
you kind of need him. You know,
you can't have. He called out Justin Turner, for example, for not getting in the middle of it all. You can't have Justin Turner getting suspended. And honestly, Justin Turner can't get in the middle of this stuff. Like, that beard is a COVID hazard. Like, if we're really being honest about it, like, he can only get so close to all these other players. Like, that, like, baseball should really make him trim that thing if we're really being real about it, because that thing is an absolute COVID spreader. So Justin Turner needs to maintain at least a little bit of distance. Manuel and Gardena, you're on the morning show. What's up, man?
Hey, Cambros, LZ, Raj, Jorge, and I were talking about how Joe Kelly's like Clark Kent or that science teacher, very mild-mannered. But when the ish hits the fan, Superman comes out to play. Hey,
yeah,
guy who called earlier, man, I think he's off pace, man. You're exactly right, Cam. We can't have a bunch of guys getting suspended. The Dodgers played that perfectly to a T. And moreover, this has been Joe Kelly's MO since he was a Cardinal. We were on the other side of this game before. He's no punk, man. That's why I'm glad. Like, when we got him, I first tweeted out, I forgive him for all his wrongdoings to the Dodger Blue, but now he's one of us, and oh boy, is he one of us. Hey, he likes to fight, guy, and I'm here for all of it, baby. Go Dodgers. F you, Houston. F you, Astros.
There you go, man. Well, thanks,
woo-hoo!
Man. Hey, look.
Well, let's see. I think we have a new drop. I think we should. Jorge, can we please capture that? Yes.
Yeah, make sure to isolate that one, Jorge. And look, it's Manuel was saying, it was perfectly played, because as much as Dodger fans love Joe Kelly right now, let's be honest, how much are they really going to get upset if he got suspended? Most of them don't want him on the mound anyway. Like, they'd be just fine with Joe Kelly getting suspended.
When I turned around and I saw he was on the mound, I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah,
which
exactly.
Version are you going to get? You know, him and Pedro Baez, those are the two that I always go, all right, now which version, which are we going to get the good one or are we going to get the bad one?
Exactly.
Because when it's good, it's good. When it's bad, oh, man.
Let's squeeze in John and Ventura really quick. You're on the morning show. What's up, man?
How you doing? Hey, Joe Kelly's the hero. What do you say? Best person you could have during this situation. Didn't back down, did what he had to do, did it cleanly. And I like the fact that he stuck his tongue right at him. Just stuck your tongue at him. You don't need to say anything. Just nah, 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 nah. Now what? Perfect guy for the situation. I was laughing. I was hollering and screaming. Best thing you could do. And the other thing I like about it is they were saying, Carrere knows UFC and all that stuff. Hey, I don't know about you, but I know Joe Kelly's theme song is, I don't know karate, but I know crazy.
Look, if worse comes to worse and the two of them brawl and Correa gets the best of it, if they get equal suspensions, if it's Joe Kelly versus Carlos Correa for the Astros, I'm good with it.
I'm good with it. I'm 100% good with it. Listen, Joe Kelly, Mr. Man, welcome to the family.
Yes.
Welcome to the family.
Yes.
You know, now that you're in, it's going to take a lot for you to get kicked out.
Oh, yeah.
You'll always have this moment. I'm going to have the yawn. Don't forget about the yawn after he threw it at him.
Mm-hmm.
I got to have the yawn moment. I got to have the nice swing. I got to have the lip. I got to have the walk. He kind of sassed him a little bit with his head going back and forth. I need all of that.
No, this was some
keep it stored forever.
this was some blood in, blood out for Joe Kelly. Like, he actually earned that moment. He is a Dodger for life as far as the fans go right now with that moment against the Astros. All right, we're going to switch gears, get into a little NBA, some Lakers coming up with Amin Alhassan, ESPN NBA front office exec. That's coming up next. We are a little bit less, LZ, a little bit more, I should say, than 24 hours away from the NBA season officially restarting, getting us closer to the actual playoffs, closer to it all being right out there, and the Lakers looking to get that chip, looking to get that title after everything they've been through. And here to help us break it all down, what it all means, Amin Alhassan, ESPN.
Amin says.
NBA front office exec. How are you, man? How you doing?
Hi, guys. I'm doing good. Can't complain. I'm excited for the season, the real season, not the scrimmage stuff, to get started. You know, one of the things I really hate is people are like, oh, did you see the game last night? I said, no. I saw a scrimmage. I didn't see no game.
What's the difference between a scrimmage and a game?
Well, a scrimmage don't even count. A scrimmage doesn't count to the point they don't even have the same rules. Think about that. They have 10-minute quarters. This should tell you everything about how seriously we should take these things. Look, all they're there for is to let guys get up and down the floor, get the blood flowing, break a sweat, you know, get ready for what's going to be game. But this thing where people watch the scrimmage, like, oh, my God, Bol Bol is going to be unstoppable.
Well, okay, with that in mind, though, Amin, when you're looking at a team like the Lakers as opposed to like a Bol Bol potential flash in the pan, teams like that that actually have legit championship aspirations, is there anything that you can look at from these scrimmages that you can try to gauge as a carryover moment to gauge where they are right now before the regular season begins?
Sure. I think obviously making sure that all the regular people look fine, like LeBron and Anthony Davis, the guys that we know are going to play big minutes and going to carry this team, they look good. They look good running up and down the floor. They don't look winded. They don't look out of shape. They look good, right? But then the other part is for players like J.R. Smith, Deion Waiters, guys who hadn't played in quite a while, it was really important to see them look good physically and also look like, you know, they're not rusty as far as kind of the game, you know, playing within an offense, remembering defensive schemes, et cetera, et cetera. And so that's encouraging, right? Like, it's basically seeing how ready you are to play. But, like, the actual team level of play, like, you know, I saw yesterday Memphis Grizzlies were, like, all on social media talking mad trash about beating the Heat. I'm like, are you guys soft in the head? Do you not understand? Like, this doesn't matter. And by the way, you guys have enough problems to worry about with three teams on your ass in the playoffs. Like, you worried about Andre Iguodala? Really?
That's where you're reminded, that Memphis is a young team. Like, that they're really a young team and they don't quite understand what's about to start off for them.
Well, I mean,
pretty much.
Yeah, they are a young team. But I believe that because they've been without any sort of competition for so long, they're just happy just to be competing. March. Looking for action since March. And you finally get a little taste of something. And it's almost like, you know, you've been a vegan for all this time. And then someone gives you a steak. It's not a good steak. It's actually, but you haven't had a steak in so long. Hell, throw some A1 steak sauce on it and let's go to work. Like, that's what it kind of feels like to me.
But LZ, I would believe that if they were talking trash to anybody, right? To whatever team they played. Oh, man, we killed y'all, whatever. But they were digging up, like, quotes and stuff from, like, February, the trade deadline. And you got Justice Winslow saying, oh, they went and circled that one for me. Y'all are holding on to this for months and months, and you're doing your victory campaign for a scrimmage. Not a game. A scrimmage.
Yeah. Scrimmage. Not a practice. Not a practice, a scrimmage.
I mean, it damn near is a practice. Let's be real.
I mean, this is an important time to remember that the two best players on Memphis are second-year player Jaren Jackson Jr. and rookie Ja Morant. Like, and I think they're both going to be great players. I think they got great futures in the league, but they're both really young. You're going to get this hyped over. And Amin Alhassan, ESPN, NBA front office exec, joining us right now. So with the Lakers, and, you know, they got this situation with Anthony Davis. He got poked in the eye in the last scrimmage. He didn't practice yesterday. Frank Vogel said that it's still undecided whether or not he's going to play Thursday against the Clippers. How much caution do you expect them to exercise in terms of over these eight games with Anthony Davis in that eye?
Yeah, you know, I think you got to be very cautious. In 2009, Amari Stoudemire, when I was in Phoenix, Amari Stoudemire got poked in the eye in training camp, an inadvertent poke in the eye from Boris Diaw, I believe. And he had the same kind of symptoms of headaches and light sensitivity. When he came back, he wore goggles, and everything seemed to be fine. And then later that year, he didn't have the goggles on. He got poked in the eye again, and it detached his retina, and he was out for the year. And the rehab for that stinks. I mean, you think it's bad when you've got a torn ACL or hip or something like that. The rehab for an eye injury like that is like to sit in the dark room. You can't watch TV. You can't watch the game. You obviously can't work out. You just have to sit in a dark room. And so it's torture for guys who are used to the activity of working out and getting shots up and playing in games. So if I'm the Lakers, I'd be extra cautious, especially considering there's no such thing as home court advantage, so they can't, quote-unquote, catch the Bucks. And the chances of the Clippers catching up to them to get to one is so infinitesimal, it's not even worth talking about right now. So to me, if I'm Frank Vogel, if I'm the Lakers staff, I'm being extra cautious with this because obviously you don't want to have a second kind of freak eye occurrence happen, and then that leads to a more severe injury.
Amin, it's interesting. You know, I agree with you. There's not a whole lot you can get from these scrimmages. I mean, it was fun watching JR and Deion Waiters on the court together. I call that my grimy backcourt, and I really liked that. It was fun. Don't expect to see a lot of it, but I just kind of liked it. But the one thing that I think was consistent was that once AD didn't play the rest of the game, the Kyle Kuzma, who usually shows up when he's the number two option, showed up yet again. Is that an encouraging sign that he, if you need him, can still – what the hell is Cam wearing? I'm sorry, I got distracted. I just turned on Get Up, and I looked at his Get Up, and I was like, oh, no, Cam.
What is it? Describe this. What is he wearing?
Who is it? Yeah, who are we talking about?
Cam Newton.
Cam Newton.
Lord.
He was wearing some mid-thigh shorts that were like zebra striped with a matching vest and like his sun hat. He looked like Madea on vacation. But anyway.
That's why all the Pats are opting out. See, they ain't trying to deal with that.
They're like, you want me to risk it all for this? Oh, no, dog. I ain't doing that. Where Tom at?
Look at Madea.
Madea on vacation.
On vacation.
Yo, Tyler Perry just heard that. He's already working on the script.
But it's the what we saw Kyle Kuzma once AD went down and he had that great offensive performance. Something that we're used to seeing when he has the opportunities, he can score if he's the number two option. Is this just going to be him? Or is he figuring something out where he can be a third option once AD gets back?
Well, I mean, I think it's encouraging in that while AD is out, you got someone who's going to be productive. That's always good. LZ, you know, Andy, I'm sure you guys remember way, way back in the day when Shaq signed with the Lakers, Eldon Campbell had been the center. He became the backup. And Eldon Campbell became basically a shadow of himself. But every time Shaq was hurt or Shaq sat out, and Eldon Campbell
balled out.
Yeah, yeah.
He was like, you know, this could be an all-star. He's so good. You know, sometimes it's just hard for guys to adjust to that lesser role. We look at what Chris Bosh did in Miami, and we kind of take it for granted. But he was incredible in that role, and that he was able to lessen his offensive involvement. But the difference is Bosh was Hall of Fame level on the defensive end. Kuzma is not, right? That's the problem. Kuzma's whole identity is wrapped up in his offense, and he doesn't really bring anything else to the table, not rebounding, not defense, not playmaking for others. So for him, if he doesn't have those opportunities for offense, he basically becomes what you see when he's a third option or a third wheel. It's a nice kind of insurance policy for AD not being on the floor, but ultimately, LZ, I got to be honest with you, the guy's not like 22 either. He's older because he was a three-year player coming out of college. I think this is just who he is. He's a guy who needs opportunities in order to be productive.
Amin El-Hassan, ESPN, NBA front office exec. Appreciate the time, man. Woo-hoo! Thank you very much. Good talking to you.
Madea goes on vacation. This will be done by today, and by Friday the movie will be
out. The three of us need to copyright this thing before Tyler Perry gets on it. We can make a little money.
It's too late. He's already got a play.
Yeah,
he's already out there doing the play already.
Probably does, man. Appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, guys.
All right, coming up next, we're going to get a breakdown from Houston, what went down with the Dodgers and the Astros. Jorge Castilla from the LA Times joining us next, 710 ESPN. The Dodgers exacted revenge in Houston, 5-2 over the Astros. Joe Kelly became a folk hero for a fan base that up to that point, frankly, couldn't stand him. Didn't like seeing him on the mound, but he threw at a couple of Astros. And to break it all down, he was there in Houston, Jorge Castilla from the LA Times. How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good.
What's up, colleague?
What's up, man?
Oh, yeah. Got that LA Times connection.
Talk to me, bro. How was Joe Kelly feeling after the game, man? Did he try to sell it? Did he try to sell it like he's about that life? Or did he own up to the fact that he really wasn't controlling his pitches?
Nah, man. Everyone played dumb. And by everyone, I mean Dave Roberts and Joe Kelly. And yeah, it's understandable, right? If you say you were trying to hit him, the suspension would be a little thicker. So, everyone was just saying he lost his control. You know, Dave Roberts said that's Joe's story to tell. He said he wasn't quite honest. He wasn't. He said he wasn't sure if Kelly was throwing at him.
That's Joe's story to tell. Like, that's his truth.
Yeah, exactly. And then Kelly was, saying that, he was kind of making some jokes about it. The fact that he, threw a ball through his window at his house back in April and his accuracy isn't great and all that. So, yeah, none of these guys are going to come out and say, I was throwing at him. I was throwing at his head, because that's just going to lead to a worse suspension. And I'm assuming suspension is coming for Joe Kelly.
Well, I was going to say, though, Jorge, like that, and we're talking to Jorge Castilla, covers the Dodgers for the LA Times. This is what makes it fascinating with Joe Kelly is he's wired to throw at other guys. Like, that's the way he operates. Like, that's the type of mentality that he has and temperament. But he's also so erratic that he can actually plunk a guy without trying. So, like, in that inning, over the course of that inning, I honestly had a hard time trying to figure out, was that actually on purpose or was that Joe Kelly losing control?
Yeah, I mean, I felt that way initially, too. I joked about it on Twitter. This guy that did that back in April threw a ball through his own window. But, I think looking back on it, the situation, 3-0 count against Bregman, nobody on, one out, it's hard to say he did not mean to do that. Whether he tried to go up at his head, whether he tried to go up behind his head, maybe he missed. Maybe his inaccuracy came in and play there. Maybe he was trying to plunk him, and he just missed. But, he missed that pitch by so much that, Joe Kelly has had, huge accuracy problems, man. I don't know if y'all remember his game in Anaheim last year. But, that was ugly. Wild pitch.
He's the guy, Jorge, who plunked Hanley Ramirez several years ago when he was with the Cardinals.
I was just going to say that. So back in 2013, Joe Kelly, the Dodgers fans weren't excited when he was throwing at their guy, Hanley Ramirez, back in the 2013 playoffs. I think he broke Hanley's ribs.
Yes.
So, or a rib. So, this guy, like you said, he's wired this way. He has no problem doing it. And he wasn't even on the team in 2017. He was on the Red Sox, who had lost to the Astros earlier in the playoffs. So, but he came out and he made a statement, I guess.
Are you as frustrated, and I know you're a reporter, so you're not supposed to ask any subjectivity to this, but I'm going to ask you anyway. National media keeps making it sound as if Joe Kelly started it. And Dusty Baker likes to characterize it as Joe Kelly started it. But isn't it true that it started really when, well, obviously the cheating is where it really started. But for last night's purposes, there was an incident that happened at first base when Joe Kelly went over to cover. And they started chirping at him prior to all that other stuff. Isn't that the real chronology of it all? That it actually was the Houston Astros chirping at him and not what was going on in the mound between him and Bregman?
Yeah, I mean, I would argue that, yeah, for sure that escalated the situation. And you can hear on the broadcast someone yelling out at Kelly to get back on the mound with a little spice at the end of it. You know, and that was after Brantley spiked him. He spiked him. You know, we asked Kelly if he thought Brantley spiked him on purpose. He said he wasn't sure. You know, Brantley doing that's kind of strange because, again, he wasn't on that team in 17 either. He wasn't around for this. I think that definitely escalated the situation. Now, I think it's easy to argue that Kelly started it. You know, Kelly threw at Bregman. Now, the Astros didn't do anything to defuse it. And obviously, when you throw a curveball, you know, when you throw a curveball inside of Carlos Correa in any other situation, that's not considered, you know, going after him. It was a curveball. But, you know, just given the context, Correa took it as him trying to throw that at him. I mean, it was an 87-mile-an-hour curveball. It wasn't a fastball. So I think that just escalated the situation. You know, the Astros assumed that something was going to happen. The Dodgers, I'm sure, came in assuming something was going to happen, and it did. And, you know, that kind of snowballs from there, and then the bench is clear.
How cathartic do you think this was, Jorge? I'm talking with Jorge Castillo, covers the Dodgers for the LA Times. How cathartic do you think this was for the Dodgers, just to have this moment, to have that type of release in terms of everything they've been dealing with?
I think what made it cathartic was winning. You really don't want all that stuff to happen, and then you lose the game later or something like that. I think they probably breathed a sigh of relief when they did all that, and then they came out on top and won. I think it's that combination. And, you know, tonight we'll see what happens. You know, maybe they let it all loose yesterday and they're good. Maybe the Astros come back with something tonight. But I think the Dodgers, if they come in and beat this team a couple times, do what they did last night, kind of letting those emotions kind of go, I think that'd be the combination they're looking for in coming here to Houston. It's tough because you can't really – you know, guys don't want to miss any time either. You don't want to get in any fights. You don't want to get suspended. This is a 60-game season. It might be even shorter depending on games getting canceled, right? So you don't want to miss 5-6 games for fighting in any situation, but especially when these games matter so much more. So I think if last night is the only thing that sort of happens, I think the Dodgers will be happy with it. You know, they made their statement, and I guess tonight they just try to win another baseball game.
You know, I'm glad that you actually brought up the game, because there were a lot of things that happened in that game besides just what was going on with our new best friend, Mr. Kelly. How would you describe Walker Buehler's performance? I mean, he had two bad pitches which led to scores, threw a lot of pitches to get guys out. So it seems uneven to me. How did you assess it?
Yeah, I mean, he looked good. Besides that slider, he hung to Correa. And then, you know, he retired 11 of the first 12 guys he faced, you know, besides Correa, who hit the home run. And they kind of ran into some trouble there in the fourth. I think it was a couple singles and a walk. You know, he hung a cutter to Correa. So Correa was kind of the guy who beat him yesterday. But, you know, all in all, it was a positive performance. I think it was up to 98 miles an hour. This is a guy who came into training camp behind the other starters, only got up to four innings in a thin game last week. He didn't even pitch in one of those exhibition games. So, you know, I think all in all, the Dodgers will take it. He looked like a... you know, pretty good. You know, he looked like a little bit like Walker Buehler. Obviously, those two pitches were mistakes. He ran into some trouble in the fourth inning, threw a lot of pitches. I think it was 56. So I think all in all, the Dodgers will take it, considering the situation right now with the rotation is not very pretty. Alex Wood going on the IL and Clayton Kershaw obviously already being on there.
And last thing for you, got about 30 seconds for you, Jorge. What do you think it meant for Mookie Betts to have a multi-hit game, his first extra base hit game, just in terms of the slow start he's had and what it means moving forward?
I'm sure he's just, you know, monkey off his back. I'm sure he's happy to get to get the ball rolling here. Like I said, it's a short season. You kind of want to get going as quickly as you can. You can't have these extended stretches where you're not playing well. I'm sure he's just, you know, it's a relief, especially doing it against the Astros here in that situation.
Jorge Castillo covers the Dodgers for the LA Times. He was in Houston watching it all go down with Joe Kelly. Appreciate the time, man. Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, that must have been a lot of fun to watch, man. That must have been a really good time in Houston. All right, coming up, a little take it or shake it. Patrick Mahomes making a huge move in Kansas City beyond the extension that he just signed. Talk about that coming up next. All right, so Patrick Mahomes, we all saw LZ, got rich over this offseason, signed a monster extension with the Chiefs, worth over $500 million in potential full money. And he is putting that money to use. It was just announced that he is now a part owner of the Kansas City Royals. For people who are not aware, Patrick Mahomes grew up in a baseball home. His dad was a big league pitcher, threw more than 300 big league games. He actually was a prospect himself.
What's the question?
I'm getting there. Kansas City has a lot of professional sports greats. George Brett, Tony Gonzalez, Derek Thomas.
Jesus Christ, ask the question.
What's the question?
Man.
Shake it.
Take it or shake it.
Just give me the next one.
All right, take it or shake it. Man, I did not think it was this long. Take it or shake it. You guys, LZ of all people yelling at me about quickness, he's the one who keeps us from going to the break. Patrick Mahomes will end up the most popular athlete in Kansas City pro sports history.
Take it.
I forgot the question, but okay, take it.
Take it.
That was
take
a question.
All right. Next.
Take it. I'm taking it because he's already won a chip. He's already won an MVP, and he can barely rent a car on his own. So
yeah.
When you're that young and you got that much of a bandwidth and you're that approachable, remember, he's got that voice that's just disarming.
Mm-hmm.
He starts talking and you don't feel threatened. You feel like he can babysit your kids. You feel like he can open up a restaurant. You feel like he could be a librarian. Like, he's almost like an everyman and a badass athlete.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take
it. He's as fun to watch as anybody in professional sports. All right, next, Dodger Stadium.
What's the question?
Come on now. You can't
give him the full history, Andy. Give him the full history.
Dodger Stadium, established in blah, blah, blah. You can't actually attend the games at Dodger Stadium, but you will be able to get the food. Dodger Stadium announced that as part of home plates and Postmates, you will be able to get some of the stadium favorites like Dodger dogs, garlic fries, nachos, micheladas. Not yet delivering to the downtown area, LZ, but they're working on it. Take it or shake it. When it's available, you will be watching a game at Dodger Stadium eating some garlic fries and Dodger dogs from Dodger Stadium.
Shake it. You know, sometimes I only eat what I eat because it's where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to say that the food isn't good, because it is. It's just, I don't go around my life with a craving for hot dogs. But if I'm in Dodger Stadium, I will certainly eat plenty of Dodger dogs. But when I'm not in Dodger Stadium, I'm just not about that hot dog life, as we've discussed multiple times. So I'm going to shake it for me, but I'm going to allow you the bandwidth to take it for you. So yes. If you want a Dodger dog, knock yourself out. I'm not about that life. I typically don't eat hot dogs when I'm by myself, so I'm not going to eat a hot dog just because it's available to me from Dodger Stadium.
I am also a little bit skeptical about the commute delivering some of this food all the way to Hollywood and West Hollywood. That could be a long way with the delivery.
You ain't selling no carbs in West Hollywood, dog.
I don't know what you're talking about. they targeted the wrong neighborhood.
Yeah.
That is a carb-free zone.
Yeah, right, we ain't next. Doing that.
Malika Andrews from ESPN, she's down in the bubble. She is reporting that the Pelicans and the Jazz are discussing a plan to surround the Black Lives Matter signage on the courts inside the bubble with something happening during the national anthem, perhaps kneeling together, some type of statement being made. That's one of the opening games. Take it or shake it. When the season opens down in the bubble, we are going to see something pretty memorable with the anthem.
I mean, take it, I guess.
Take it.
I mean,
take
who's, it? Who's going to forget this season? Like, you talk about something memorable for the anthem. All of this is memorable. All of this. Who's going to forget 2020? Who's going to be like, you know, 10 years from now, and you just like, damn, what was that one year that was all strange and weird? And no one's going to forget this.
That is true.
So I think every single thing that happens in that bubble, from the lemon pepper chicken wings to who wins a championship, is just going to have a super asterisk next to it. Joe Kelly became a hero in 2020. Who saw that coming? So, I mean, listen, everything that occurs is going to be memorable. I just love the fact that these guys are being true to their word. And when they say they were coming back, but they were going to keep the message focused on the issues at hand, so far, all good. They have been very, very focused, particularly making sure that they give props to the WNBA, who Real Talk started all of this with their strength and courage. And shout out for Kyrie Irving for recognizing that and trying to support these sisters who are in this fight and for real, for real, for real, who are leaving their profession to be in this fight for real, for real, for real. But to your question, everything about 2020, folks are going to remember.
Yeah, the WNBA players, I mean, they don't get enough attention. They don't ever get enough respect. But for what they're doing right now, when it comes to social justice, they do not bleep around. And as you said, they've been at the front of that battle for a long time. Next, Joey Bosa and the Chargers reach an agreement to an extension. Adam Schefter reporting, 5 years, $135 million, going to keep them there for six seasons, $78 million guaranteed, $78 at the signing, $102 million guaranteed. He is part of the same draft class as one Jalen Ramsey, who the Rams traded for, and they still have not locked up. Take it or shake it, this puts extra pressure on the Rams to figure this out and extra money in Jalen Ramsey's pocket.
Shake it.
Oh,
shake it. Shake it. One got to do with the other.
There's no pressure. They know what this is. They know what this is. And the Rams have shown you, especially, you know, post Jeff Fisher, that one, they're not afraid to go for it. And two, they're not shy about paying the guys they want to keep. Now, I know that Aaron Donald obviously had, you know, some little bit of a hiccup with his negotiations, but it didn't stretch out like no damn Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
It wasn't one of those situations. It stretched out for the Rams.
It stretched out for a while, though. I mean, that thing with Aaron Donald, he was upset for a couple years before it eventually happened.
He was, but we never felt as if he wasn't valued. I feel like Dak Prescott feels like he's not being valued. I think everyone in the Rams organization made sure that Aaron Donald knew that he was valued, and it was just about the structuring of the deal, not a hesitation to make sure that he was paid as the best.
Oh,
that hesitation is very evident with
especially
Dak Prescott.
Especially, too. I mean, when you're talking about someone like Aaron Donald, who was, you know, forget the idea of being the best defensive player in the league. There were games where you could argue that Aaron Donald was as good as anybody in football. And to feel like he wasn't getting that extension when he wanted, especially after the Rams had already extended Tavon Austin, like who they still hadn't figured out what the hell to do with. They gave that guy an extension. I can see where Aaron Donald felt pretty unsettled. But we'll see what happens with Jalen Ramsey. They're obviously going to have to extend him because they traded that much to get him. But for the time
– And there's no pressure. There's no pressure. They knew what that was going to be.
They'll make it work. They knew. It'll end up happening. Speaking of the NFL, we're going to stay on that, talking next to Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL Insider. That is next, 710 ESPN.